Welcome to Outside Source Football, your inside look at the NFL. Listen to the latest predictions and happenings from the season with your hosts, Evan Mick and Gabriel Vondre. Here they are now.
Hello and welcome to Outside Source Football on 101.7 FM, Radio Free Hillsdale. With Evan Mick,
Gabriel Vondre,
and Joseph Doherty.
Today we're talking about
NFL. Whoa. Six-time Pro Bowler, five-time All-Pro, 1973 NFL MVP, three-time AFC MVP.
Oh.
1973 AFC Offensive Player of the Year. The first player to ever rush for 2,000 yards in a 14-game season.
And my personal hero.
And the last bit of juice has been squeezed from the orange. And all that's left is the rind. The juice is no longer loose. O.J. Simpson passed away today last night at the age of 76. Apparently he had cancer.
Mm. Yep, and I hear the funeral procession will take place in a white Bronco headed west on
a custom white Bronco hearse. Oh boy.
And as Will says, yeah, I did it.
Duh. That was my favorite. Some fake news site where apparently his last words were, yeah, I did it. Yeah, at the end of all those stats, and he probably got away with a double murder.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Everybody gets one.
You know, it's the second time I've heard that orange juice squeeze joke, though, today.
Really?
Yeah, somebody else said that.
I didn't hear it from anyone.
I thought
it was original.
Outside Source Football. We recycle content.
Yeah.
We do. We just toss that stuff out there.
But, yeah, honestly, you know, I'm going to miss his Twitter posts most of all.
We still have Antonio Brown.
I love
O.J. Mahomes.
That's true. I loved when O.J. would get on and, you know, hello, Twitter world, this is O.J. And, you know, he'd start doing his thing. I mean, Nobody took being a murderer in stride better than O.J., you know? Probably a murderer, you know, probably.
And if I did it.
He was acquitted. but, I mean, we don't need to get into the O.J. the cases right now.
Easily the best clip.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, O.J. Mahomes.
Just O.J. Simpson dressed as Patrick Mahomes. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, so, but today, now that we are done with...
Yeah, we can,
R.I.P.
We can put O.J.
O.J. Simpson.
To rest.
we're talking about the NFL draft, which will be coming up in 2 weeks. Today, we're focusing on receivers. And if you are in the Hillsdale area during the NFL draft, we are going to be doing the live show for the first round of the NFL draft.
Yes.
Joe is not going
to
be with us.
Joe, I
may be at the draft. I may be live reporting.
You're trying to be at the draft. Yeah,
we might get a phone call live tweeting.
From Joe.
I will definitely call in. Or I might not even go, so I might be here. So we'll see.
Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. We may have a man on the inside. We may not. Either way, it's going to be a good time.
I will be very far away from the draft, probably a couple blocks away. But guys, it's crazy here.
Guys, it's crazy. Joe, I'm looking at the location. You're just at a bar in Detroit.
Didn't know they were holding the draft. Yeah, the Renaissance Center. That's like five blocks away. What are you doing?
That's fun though. It's coming up. I mean, what are we at here? 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Two weeks from today.
Two weeks from tonight.
Yep.
The time of this recording.
I'm excited. As a Raiders fan, and I'm sure you can understand this too. I get way too excited about the draft because I'm used to them drafting in like the top 10, top five every year. So you just get really, really into the draft more so than, you know, regular fans are of teams that are actually successful.
Yep.
So
felt that.
Yep.
Yeah. So
right.
I mean, receivers.
Receivers.
Great receiver class.
It is a really, really
insane.
Deep receiver class.
Potentially historic receiver class if these guys pan out the way that the experts are saying they will.
It's also true though that the NFL is really wide receiver deep right now. Like that
is.
That might be the most talented position out there.
You gotta have at least two really top end receivers, you know? I mean, think about that. We're in a world where like T. Higgins is not a number one receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. In any other era, T. Higgins would be a surefire number one receiver on his team. You know, that's kind of wild to think about.
Even like 5 years ago, I feel.
Yeah.
Five, 10 years ago.
Also today, bad news, Tom Brady said that he's willing to come out of a retirement.
Oh, I saw that.
If a contending team. And who did
he mention? He name-dropped the Patriots.
The Raiders and the Patriots.
The Patriots and the Raiders.
But he named the Raiders because he's going to own a stake in them.
Well, that's...
And he
I don't know.
Live in Vegas.
He was talking about...
Still been held up. I don't know what the latest is on that, but they've been talking about that for a long time.
He said that he wants to own a stake in them, and he said he wanted to be like MJ and go back and play for the team that he owns a part in.
At this point, you know, sure, why not? I mean, let's just
let him play.
It'd be fun.
let him play.
Probably definitely get hurt, I mean, who cares? Let's go.
Yeah, so I have a top 20 list of wide receivers.
20?
I have 20. I watched 20 wide receivers film.
Oh my gosh. Need a girlfriend.
Get a life. You didn't watch the film. You just uploaded it to your hard drive. The motherboard.
I downloaded it. I watched them all at the same time.
I watched them instantaneously.
Instantaneously.
So you have 20.
I do.
In ranked.
Order, yes, 1 through 20.
You go ahead. Okay, let's hear it.
So Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously number one, pretty clear. Number two and number three, Malik Nabers, number two, Romo Odunze, number three. That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
After that, we have Adonai Mitchell at 4 out of Texas.
Oh, okay.
Troy Franklin at 5 out of Oregon.
Interesting.
Brian Thomas Jr. at 6 out of LSU. Ladd McConkey at 7 out of Georgia. Roman Wilson at 8 out of Michigan. Xavier Worthy at 9 out of Texas. Jacob Cowing at 10 out of Arizona. Probably a name that you guys didn't even know, never heard of before.
I don't. I'll be honest. I haven't gotten that deep yet.
Jalen McMillan out of Washington. Jalen Polk, also out of Washington.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall.
They got some good receivers.
Out of Florida. So we're at 13 right now.
You still haven't said Xavier Worthy.
I know. I said Xavier Worthy at 9.
Oh, he's at 9? Okay. He's at 9. Sorry.
Keon Coleman at 14.
That's pretty low.
I don't like Keon Coleman.
You don't like Keon? Well, apparently not.
Jermaine Burton at 15. Malachi Corley, which I don't have a team for. I don't know what team he played for. At 16. Devontae Walker out of UNC at 17. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State at 18. Jamari Thrash out of Louisville at 19. And Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina at 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I can talk about the top of that list a little bit.
Well, you
know Malik Nabers.
I watched Marvin Harrison Jr. once.
Well, you guys don't like Jacob Cowing?
You know what, Evan? Hats off to you. I'm glad somebody's doing the legwork.
I had a lot of free time. I don't have a girlfriend.
Well,
outside source football listeners, if you are listening,
any
to this,
single ladies out there listening to the show,
you're listening to 101.7, ready for Hillsdale.
Oh boy. Well, yeah. Let's move back to the top of it and let's talk about those guys a little bit because that's what everybody else is doing. So
you want to talk about Marvin Harrison first?
Sure.
Sure, Marvin Harrison.
You go ahead and kick us off.
So Marvin Harrison, elite concentration. He can track a deep ball, catch it from almost any angle. He does a phenomenal job showing really late hands, which catching at the last second, not letting the DB make a play. He's also amazing at hand fighting, especially on his releases. DBs can't seem to get engaged with him, and he does an elite job of stacking them. He's a great route runner. It's not quite like as elite as some people are saying. It is very smooth, though, especially for a guy of his size. And I would say it's great. Not quite elite, but... and I feel the same way
I don't expect any rookie to be elite as a route runner coming into the NFL. I mean, think about a guy like Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams was not an elite route runner when he got into the NFL. That's something that that's something that you work on and you improve on as you, you know, more time in the league.
I feel the same way kind of about his toss-up jump ball ability. Obviously, like the contested catches where he can box out the guy. He's got great concentration, so he'll be able to have a huge advantage in those. But, I mean... It's super nitpicky, but for a player like him, he's not quite as good after the catch as Malik Nabers is. He's fast. It's not a weakness. I mean, but like
he and Nabers are different type of after the catch guy. Marvin Harrison is a catch the ball and get north and south guy, whereas Nabers is going to dance around a little bit. But no, I agree with everything you've said so far. I don't think there's a weakness in his game. I think he's just kind of good at everything and some things he's great at. A lot of things he's great at. And honestly, some of his most impressive plays this year were incompletions where he just completely embarrassed a defensive back, got insane separation, and then the ball was airmailed like 5 yards over his head. You know, I mean, he's always open. I mean, if you watch Ohio State, he's pretty much always open. I mean, people can't cover him.
Yeah, if he had one of these elite quarterbacks, I mean, man.
I think go back and watch him with C.J. Stroud, which, yeah, granted, he's younger and probably not as good of a player as he was then.
There.
And, yeah, that was a crowded offense. But, I mean, yeah, watch that Georgia game before he got hurt. I mean, he doesn't get hurt. I think most people think that Ohio State has a really good chance of winning that game and going to the national championship. his red shirt sophomore year, probably. Yeah, is he a red shirt junior?
I have no idea. He's 21 and a half years old. That's what I have.
He's young. But, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it makes sense because, yeah, watching him, it's like, golly, it looks like this guy has just been, you know, trained to be an elite receiver his entire life. And I assume that's, you know, not far from the truth. I mean, his dad is Marvin Harrison, one of the greatest receivers in NFL history. So, you know, from the time Marvin Harrison Jr. was born, he was getting the best training, the best coaching. I mean, yeah, he's like, yeah,
are a receiver.
I'm gonna teach you how to. I'm gonna turn you into the greatest receiver of all time. And I think in some ways, people have kind of got tired of him because we've been talking about him for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like now he's finally here. And so, yeah, like, you know, oh wow, look how exciting Neighbors is or Adunze, and people want to make it like it's closer between them than it really is. I think he's number one for sure. And I'm not saying it's a huge gap between him and the next guy, but I think it's pretty obvious that he's the number one player in this draft. He is a special wide receiver prospect.
I mean, you touched on it already, but anybody that watched Ohio State this year was very frustrated with quarterback play. So it's it'll be interesting to see where Marvin Harrison goes and if he goes to a team that's got a good quarterback. I don't know why the Patriots would take him.
I don't either.
I mean, who are the Bailey Zappi's going to be thrown to?
Yeah,
I feel like he'll go to the Cardinals.
They have Brissett. They got Jacoby Brissett. Oh, hooray!
Yay!
I do agree though.
You guys you're not very excited about that. What?
No, I think that the gap between them isn't that huge, like between Harrison and Neighbors. But I think it's a very clear gap. Like it's obvious that he's number one.
Like I said, I don't think there's a real weakness in Marvin Harrison Jr.'s game. I think you can put him on the inside. You can put him on the outside. He can win underneath. I mean, yeah, the route tree is anything. He can go deep. He's got the speed to run away from guys. We've seen him do it against high-level defensive backs, Big Ten. I mean, yeah, you watch him against Michigan.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, played in college football playoff game against Georgia. Like, he just checks all the boxes.
Yeah, so moving on to Malik Neighbors. So yes. LSU... 20.6 years old. I don't know where the 0.6 comes from. It must be like halfway to his birthday.
Yeah.
I have him as a top 10 pick. I had Malik, like I had Harrison Jr. This is kind of like a broad range, like the widest I think they could go. I have Harrison Jr. as like a top 8 pick. I think if anything below 8 is ridiculous.
Ooh,
I think that might even be higher.
He's top 5. He's top 5. Yeah.
I don't think that the Chargers would pass on him.
There in other drafts, if, you know, the number one pick or number two pick wasn't a team that needed a quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr. could go one or two.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Just given, like, the widest range, I think.
Yeah. So Malik Neighbors.
Yeah, Malik Neighbors. Elite acceleration. I think that's the best in his class. He's really dangerous with the ball in his hands. Really, really good balance as a ball carrier. And really good at the catch point. He does a great job of high-pointing the ball with pretty good body control. He doesn't stack super well. I would say he's probably the worst red zone threat as well out of the top three. Not that he's a bad red zone threat, but he's not, you know, a touchdown producing machine over here. The contested catching is okay.
I think he may have led the country in touchdowns.
No, he didn't.
He was close. But I mean, I agree with what you're saying. He's like, that's not his game where he's, you know, mossing guys in the red zone. But he did have a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, but they weren't like red zone touchdowns.
Some of them were, but not
as many of them.
We agree, Evan. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Do I just defend myself over here?
Always.
Yes.
Oh, it's me? Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm with you there. It's funny watching him. You guys are going to laugh. You know who he reminds me of?
Devontae Adams.
He reminds me of a more explosive Cooper Kupp. I saw a lot of that watching him. Because he moves around a lot. He's really good in the slot. He's good at finding space in the middle of the field. That's something he did, I think, really well. Like you said, great after the catch. It's like once the ball's in his hands down the field, he turns into a running back. He knows when to get north and south. He can make guys miss. He can run away from guys. I would say shows up on tape that, he's more explosive than Marvin Harrison Jr., probably the most of any receiver in this class. The knock on him, and I didn't see it as much, and granted, I didn't, you know, I wasn't like getting real deep into the film, but The experts say that, yeah, he doesn't do as well against physical DBs. He lets guys get inside, do his pads. And something that apparently LSU receivers do in general, they do the rather than trying to win with their hands and fighting with their hands to get defensive backs' hands off them, they'll do this kind of like shoulder shrug move where they sort of dip and sort of try to get around him. But, you know, I think that's something that, you know, you can work on in the NFL. I think he can get better with his hands as long as he has a good wide receivers coach. But I think he's definitely number two. Some people like Adunze more than him. I don't. I think Neighbors is – I just think he's better overall as a player. I think he's going to be more impactful. I think he's a more surefire guy. And if you're taking somebody a receiver that high in the draft, he better be number one from day one. I mean, he should have a Ja'Marr Chase kind of impact as soon as he walks in.
Yeah, so something that you see with Malik Neighbors, I literally just said this about Marvin Harrison, but, I mean, who did Malik Neighbors have thrown to him?
Yeah.
Right? He had Jayden Daniels, who's going to go top three in the draft most likely. So, you know, he's kind of – what's the word? You said he's surefire, but, like, we haven't seen him get thrown to by, like, a – bad quarterback yet, which he realistically will have happen.
I think that's fair because a lot of, you know, some of his numbers are off schedule kind of stuff where, yeah, Jayden Daniels made a play and Malik Neighbors just kept running around.
It was just the chemistry between those
exactly
two.
And then eventually got open, which, so I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, that's...
He shows great potential there, but that is something that gives me pause.
Yeah.
I think, though, for sure, if we're talking about kind of like... Last year when the Lions were like, oh, we're going to take the tight end out of Iowa because it's a pretty good bet. When there's a great position,
true.
When there's a great receiver at LSU, I mean, like that's a good pick.
You kind of trust it
at this point. Yeah. Like the NFL.
You trust history there.
Yeah. And I would say
there's been a couple good ones from LSU, right? At least a couple.
I feel like there's somebody in recent memory, maybe.
A few.
Two or three. I don't know.
But
oh, Odell, yeah.
The last thing I wanted to say about Neighbors, because he's so good in the slot, a lot of times he finds himself, or, you know, at least at LSU, found himself matched up on a linebacker or a safety. When that happens, just forget about it. I mean, that's where the ball is going 100%. If there is a linebacker or a safety on Malik Neighbors, they have no chance. They have zero chance, and that's what shows up on tape when it did happen last year.
Moving on to Rome Odunze out of Washington. So this is kind of my tier one. These top three guys are all in one tier, all going to get drafted in like that top 12, top 15.
I would say probably top 10.
Probably all top 10, more than
top 12 at the latest.
Yeah. Important trait of wide receivers is having late hands. He's not quite as good at late hands, but he's really good at late body positioning. So he'll wait till the ball is in the air for even a really long time, and at the last second, he'll separate. So whether the ball is thrown 10 yards down the field or 40 yards down the field, he's waiting to separate so that the DB not only doesn't know where the ball is, but he doesn't know when the ball is coming. And that like gives him a huge advantage at the catch point. That's his best trait, is being great at the catch point. He's definitely he's a pretty good route runner. He makes pretty decent cuts. He's quick. He's not quite a burner, but nobody's really going to call him slow.
Yeah. What do we know what he ran 40 wise?
I don't
4.45. Ran a 4.45.
Wow, that's actually faster than I thought he was.
That I was going to say that is what I would have expected him to run based on film.
4 second shuttle. It's pretty nuts.
He's smooth.
He is smooth.
39.
I think he's smooth. I agree with everything you said about, yeah, at the catch point. Maybe my favorite, better in contested catches.
Definitely.
Situations than Malik Neighbors.
Go up and get it kind of guy.
That's his best.
Some really, really nice back shoulders where, and this was Penix and him just both being on the same page and just both of them being really good at it. That was kind of their bread and butter, was that back shoulder play, and they were good at it. Not to mention really great size. I mean, yeah, 6'3", 212, long arms, and also showed up in big games, which, you know, some people don't really care about that, but...
It matters.
I do. So, and honestly, had Penix been more sharp, there were plays to make in the national championship where Rome Odunze was wide open. I remember that huge fourth down play that really kind of turned the game, that Odunze... Got himself wide open. Penix missed him, but no, against Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, he was huge in that game. Joe, you just played that against Washington State. They ran the end around to him on fourth
and one. On fourth and one from their own 30. It's like they just trust him.
You trust
him to make the plays.
You like to have your best players be reliable in those moments, and he was for Washington this year.
I see somebody trading up for him because, I mean, the Bears have such good receivers, right? And, I mean, if you look at the receivers after – or you look at the teams after the Bears, it's like Jets aren't going to draft him. Vikings probably aren't. Broncos probably aren't. Raiders probably aren't. You know, there's other needs of these teams. So I could see a team like the Steelers or even possibly like the Bills at this point, now that they've traded away so much, trading up and drafting Rome Odunze up.
I could see a lot of people in that top 12.
A lot of people have him going to the Bears, and I just don't see that.
I think people have him going to the Bears because when you look down the list, it's like you get 10 picks down and you realize Rome Odunze still isn't drafted. Yeah, like you make a whole first round mock and you're like,
right,
shoot, where does Rome Odunze go?
Yeah, it's really hard to account for trades.
So I think somebody will trade up for him.
Somebody could trade up, but the other thing you got to think about is teams will have the conversation where, well, this is a really deep receiver class anyway, so maybe we don't try to move up to get a guy because
we
feel good about these three guys on the board that are probably going to fall to us anyway. But Odunze is really good, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody makes that move.
Yeah, and at that point, I mean, the lowest I think he could go is like 20 to the Steelers, 17 to the Jags.
No, he's not getting to 20. There's no way he's getting to 17.
I'm just saying, look at these teams.
I don't think he would.
It happens.
It does, but I don't think he will.
Do you think there's any way that he gets picked over Neighbors?
No.
I would.
Even if it's like a fit thing?
No.
Because, you know, like, Odunze is the go-up-and-get-it guy. Like, no.
Eh.
You know, I mean, it's just like he's a different receiver.
Not looking at this top 10 receivers, or not looking at this top 10 teams that need receivers now.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to cut us off there. Thank you for listening to Radio for Hillsdale, 101.7 FM, Outside Source Football. We'll be back after this short break. Hello, and welcome back to Outside Source Football on Radio for Hillsdale, 101.7 FM. We're talking about some more NFL receivers and the NFL draft, kind of just talking about it, you know, just talking football.
Just talking ball.
You know.
Talking ball. You know.
Nothing to talk about for the next 2 weeks.
We've great ball knowers.
We've covered the high-end guys, the blue chips, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, Rome Odunze. We agree that those three are in a tier of their own. Who are the guys we like?
Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Keon Coleman because I don't like him.
Okay, wow. Way to be negative.
He's one of the top-ranked receivers, and out of Florida State, he had a couple of really nice acrobatic catches. And I mean, he's pretty big, but he's not that fast. And I thought that during the film, and then during his 40, he ran a 4.61, which is, you know, that's pretty slow.
Pretty slow.
You know, you say that, but I also saw that video of him doing the gauntlet drill, and he was really smooth through that. And he maintained a nice speed through that, which a lot of teams like that.
Yeah, but his...
So I'm just pushing back on you a little bit there.
His route running, like you watch the... If you pull up his highlight tape, the first route is a slant route, and it's basically the most rounded off slant route you'll ever see. His route running's not great, and he's not great at putting himself in a good position to make contested catches. He'll make some because he's more athletic and he's stronger, but in the NFL,
when he's 6'6",
he's not going to be that much stronger than some of these guys, you know?
I mean, I don't know enough about him. I mean, watching him at the combine, I thought, geez, he just looks like Mike Evans Jr. You don't think he has Evans' potential?
He also doesn't break tackles well at all. Yeah, so I don't...
I mean, Mike Evans ran well. I don't know what Mike Evans' 40 was exactly, but I think it was decent.
No, I don't see Keon Coleman as like a first or second round pick. Maybe a late third, early fourth.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he's getting out of the second round.
I don't think he will.
I think teams are going to fall in love with the size.
I'm saying where I think he should go, not where I think he will go.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh,
I think he doesn't get out of the second as well. Early second, honestly.
But I'm not a big fan of Keon Coleman. I don't think that the college play is really good there, but the NFL play, it's like I said, his high end would be like a lower end wide receiver 2 and a punt returner because he's an okay punt returner.
He returns punts?
Yeah, he returned punts at Florida State.
Really?
Wait, am I thinking of the right guy?
Yeah, he like none of his tape. Or if you get to the end of his tape.
How tall is Keon Coleman?
He's big. Oh, yeah, you're thinking of him. He's a jump ball receiver, but he returns punts.
Interesting.
It is a really, really interesting concept. But that's the only time where he ever actually breaks tackles. He never breaks tackles, really, when he has the ball in his hands from a catch. So,
well, speaking of the return game, a guy that I like, and the hype train was rolling for him earlier because he broke the 40 record, but Xavier Worthy from Texas is, I'll say this, he's not a versatile receiver, but I think he's a versatile football player. And with the rule changes on the kickoff return, teams are really going to like it because he has insane speed. It shows up in games. Texas didn't ask him to do a whole lot as a receiver other than screens, going deep, you know, jet sweeps. It was just like, find a way to get the ball in this guy's hand and then let him run. And for the most part, it was good. And I'm not saying he's horrible as a receiver. I mean, yeah, he shows some ability to run some routes, and it's something that he improved on while he was at Texas. But my favorite play from Xavier Worthy, this was against TCU. He totally beats the corner, beats the safety. He's gone for a touchdown if the throw is there. Quarterback underthrows it. Safety intercepts it. He falls down as the ball is intercepted. Safety's returning it. He gets up, chases this guy down, and is right in position to make the tackle. One of his teammates comes in and punches the ball out. He's right there to recover the fumble. He's back on it. Texas maintains possession. But you just love, I mean, a coach is going to see that and just fall in love with him immediately. And just be like, wow, this guy gets up off the ground, tracks it back down, and he's in position to recover a fumble. And he's tough. I mean, he's not a big guy at all. I mean, he's 6 foot, maybe 165 pounds. I think they list him at 170, probably played at 165. He is not afraid to go and, you know, take some hits and lower his shoulder. And I mean, he can really run. I mean, yeah.
421.
I mean, that's crazy speed. That's crazy speed. And like I said, he didn't return kicks. He returned punts at Texas, was really good at it. And I think he just had one touchdown as a punt return, but he always picked up a lot of yards. And that's huge. I mean, in the field position game, if you have a guy that can do that. So
yeah,
I like Xavier Worthy, and I think he may go late first round. I think he might.
Just because of the speed. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I like him a lot too. He's not like just a vertical speed guy. He can actually run routes.
He can do a little bit more.
He's not, you know, the best route runner, the most refined route runner, but with his speed, his route running is good enough where he'll be a receiver in the NFL. He's not the next John Ross type.
My biggest concerns were there were some ball security issues. He had a couple of fumbles.
Couple just drops.
Because he's so small, there's some plays where he gets blown up and he either fumbled or doesn't make the catch. Not the greatest hands in the world. You see some body catches sometimes. He does show the ability to make catches with his hands and make some impressive catches, you know, extending out over the shoulder, that kind of thing. I just wouldn't say it's not great. It's just okay. You know, just probably just good enough.
Kind of like Jameson Williams in a way. I don't know. I haven't seen his film.
Maybe.
By her body catches. That's what I think.
Better than Quentin Johnston.
Yes.
Hard. That's a hard task.
It's a low level.
Anyway, a receiver I fell in love with was Brian Thomas Jr.
Those are powerful words.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of overshadowed.
Tell him how you feel.
Shout out Brian Thomas Jr. I know he's a avid listener to the
that
show.
That guy, he's a freak. He's a freak athlete.
He's a freak athlete, and he's, you know, he's overshadowed by Malik Nabers, who's his teammate. And I just think that just for the size, like how fast he is ridiculous. He's 6'3", 209, and he runs a 4.33. And, I mean, you can see it on clips. He's just blown by some guys. And I think his route running is pretty good. And we were talking about it in between the break, but you know, the DK Metcalf comparison, it's hard to shake that. Like, I mean, you look at him and you could see how
I think
he could be the next DK.
He was the only guy since DK Metcalf at that weight and height to run that fast. And then Adonai Mitchell was similar, but Adonai Mitchell is a little thinner than Brian Thomas Jr.
He's not quite as big.
And then Brian Thomas Jr., you know, not the physical specimen that DK Metcalf is, but similar.
Right. Similar styles of play.
Yeah,
right?
And I mean, golly, yeah. Sorry, we got the highlights up right here.
We got the highlights up. Rolling on loop here.
We're just watching him run by people. And
you know, once again, he is getting thrown to by a top three quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, but would Jaden Daniels be a top three quarterback if
without
he didn't
have... Right. I mean, there's some given.
It's a two-way street.
And you also think about like...
Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas obviously elevate... I can't think of his name.
Jane Daniels,
a game. So.
Like, I think there's a lot of other positions too, where it's like there's a clear, you know, or there's not a clear. You can't tell how much it's him. You can't tell how much it's the team, like running backs and stuff. How good is your offensive line? I think with receiver, usually we're pretty confident when a guy's good. Like, think back to the other two LSU receivers, we were like, oh yeah, those guys are first round picks, even though they had Joe Burrow at quarterback, and then they turned out to be great. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that receiver, I would say, even with a good quarterback, even with, you know, a pretty good team, you'll feel pretty confident
right.
about, like, I mean, you think, oh no, Quentin Johnston was getting thrown the ball by Max Duggan.
Yeah.
And you know,
hasn't worked out. And so
also,
far.
You know,
he hasn't worked out. With, so.
You talk about LSU, that's playing in the SEC. You're going against guys that are going to be NFL players pretty much every week.
Yeah.
Bama. I'm just trying to find. I'm just trying to find a negative for this guy, and that's the biggest negative.
So, I mean, there's a lot of guys that
I mean,
that think he's really raw as a prospect, and so you know, some people if somebody has him at like 4 on their receiver rankings, I know
a lot of people do.
Yeah,
sure.
He's
top 5.
He's a little bit of a polarizing prospect in that
way. Well, I mean, it's hard because you know he's not getting guarded by the best corner because Malik Nabers has taken that. You know. So, I mean, that's another thing.
Yeah, but if we know anything about LSU wide receiver twos, they're usually not that good.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, yeah.
What's the last guy's name?
Jackson?
I'll go back further. Think about at the same time they had OBJ and Jarvis Landry together. And then, yeah, you have Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson together. And then now we got Malik Nabers
and Brian Thomas.
Think about that. You had OBJ and Jarvis Landry at the same college at the same time, and they could be, not saying they will be because we don't know yet, but they could be
the worst of the three duos.
The third best duo in their college.
Possibly. Hey.
Well, they're not the best.
Jarvis Landry is a heck of a player.
Also,
he's great. But
Brian Thomas had 17 touchdowns.
17?
Yes. He led the SEC in touchdowns as a receiver.
Yeah, I just remember watching Jayden Daniels' film and thinking I was going to be blown away by Malik Nabers, and I was just blown away by Brian Thomas. I just think he's, you know, just the size. I just love the size.
Yeah. What
the only other guy that has the same size is really just like Rome Odunze.
Yeah, a lot of people have him
that high of a ranking.
A lot of people have him going to Buffalo at this point.
Yeah, I could see that
outside receiver.
I could see that
for
sure.
Them.
Yeah.
Deep threat for Allen.
Buffalo's got to take a receiver.
They kind of have to.
Whoever's the best receiver on the board, they're going to take. I kind of want to. You want to
probably be pretty good.
Do you want to pull that up? Maybe look at.
Yeah, the draft order.
We should talk about one more thing. So there's always, you know, they invite so many guys to the draft.
Yeah.
And that list just came out today.
Oh, seriously.
So who's the most likely guy
to
still
be
there
in
the second round? Who's Will Levis?
Tell me who's there. Yeah, who's going to be there?
So Jayden Daniels. Obviously, Caleb Williams, obviously. Also, Terry Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. Marvin Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, Latu, UCLA, D-end.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May, Quinion Mitchell, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Darius Robinson, Brian Thomas Jr., and Dallas Turner. So if there's
That's it?
There's only 13.
What?
And if there's going to be anybody who gets left, I think it'll be Chop Robinson. It could be Brian Thomas, but I think it'll be Chop Robinson. I don't think he's going to be going in the first round.
Is it always just 13?
I think the number has dropped
because
it's embarrassing if you don't get drafted.
Well, that and I think guys just want to be with their family, you know?
Yeah. I remember Trevor Lawrence didn't even go.
There's probably a lot of guys that like, screw that. I just want to be with my family on draft day. And yeah, plus you don't have to worry about the embarrassment of, if you are stuck sitting in the green room. The next day, like Will Levis,
it's hard. I mean, you'd obviously want to walk across that stage, and get the jersey.
Well,
but
do you think there's a
home.
Difference between being in Radio City Music Hall in New York and having it in Detroit? Do you think if it was in New York, you'd probably get a little bit more guys there.
That might be true.
No disrespect to Detroit, I love the city of Detroit.
No, I see what you're saying though.
Yeah,
and they're only 14 last year,
and Will Levis was one of them.
So wait, who are the quarterbacks? It was just the top three?
Yeah, it was just the top three.
Interesting.
Drake May.
I'm surprised that JJ's not there.
I was hoping you were going to say Bo Nix because I was like, Bo Nix.
I thought you were going to say Michael Penix. I was going to say Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Or JJ, honestly.
So most of these guys to me seem like top 15 picks. The only guys who aren't are Brian Thomas Jr. and Darius Robinson. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. at latest will probably go to Buffalo.
He's going to go in the first.
He's going to go top 20.
He's going to go. If you're
top 25.
When you're 6'3", 210, running 4.33 with the numbers.
I mean, that's hard.
17 touchdowns.
He's going to go.
And being the second best receiver on your team and having 17 touchdowns. I mean, that is hard.
Second
to,
best receiver on your team.
That is hard
great.
To pass
Well,
up.
Let's, I mean, yeah, let's kind of go through the, was there anybody else we wanted to touch on?
No, that's it. Well.
What about our lad?
Our lad McConkey.
Our favorite lad McConkey. I mean, you talk about Dude just grabs his lunch pail and his hard hat every day. He's the first one in, the last one out. He's a gym rat.
Oh my God.
High football IQ. And not to mention, sneaky athletic as well. I mean, he just kind of sneaks up on you. You know?
And with the number third pick and the number three pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots.
Bill Belichick is punching holes in the wall because he can't draft Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, he's really good with the ball in his hands. A little bit.
I'm being sarcastic. This guy is obviously athletic. He's not.
He's just so dirty. He's just so dirty.
He's just a good receiver.
Yeah, he's the best route runner in this class. A little bit more of a slot guy.
Yeah.
Definitely a little limited.
I think they list him at 6 foot. He's probably 5'10", 5'11", 190. But he's got some just dirty routes. Kind of routes where guys just fall over and he's wide
open.
Now, Ladd McConkey's good. I think he's going to go first round as well.
Yeah, so now pulling up some teams, right?
Yeah, who's in the market?
So, first pick, Bears, obviously. You know, probably Caleb Williams. We got a couple other picks. Guys who could trade up, though. Chargers could. I think that you could see the Chargers trading down because they have so many needs. You could see a team like the Bears trading down again, trying to get more first-round picks for next year so they could have, you know, every pick in the first round 1 year. From 9, not from number 1. Trading down from number 9. You could see a team like the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders even trading up even just 2 spots just to get up above everybody else to pick the quarterback that they want in the first round, a.k.a. probably J.J. McCarthy.
As you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale on 101.7 FM.
I haven't said that in a while.
That's what Joe was trying to say to us. Yes, I didn't realize what he was saying.
We haven't been doing station identification.
Station identification. Well, now you know. You're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.
So who do you think they'd trade up with? Did you say?
I could see the Chargers trading down. Giants, yeah. Giants have a lot of needs. I could see them trading down.
Yeah.
Titans even, I could see them trading down.
You know who I don't see trading down is the New England Patriots. I've seen mock drafts where they trade down, and I just don't get that.
I just think that it's too many picks to trade down for them. Because like the teams that want to trade up with them are like the Vikings.
Right.
I think the Patriots...
And you're moving down 10 picks.
The Patriots have done a good job of... Everybody's kind of guessing right now. They don't really know what the Patriots are going to do. Because we're all... Everybody on the outside is assuming, well, they got to take a quarterback. But...
I mean, they have other needs.
They seem to be keeping the league on the fence, which, I mean, it all just might be fake, and they may just be taking a quarterback regardless, but... They are doing a good job of that because I think everybody knows what Chicago and Washington is going to do.
And you got it's a receiver deep class, but a couple teams in that first early picks needs a receiver. The Cardinals.
Cardinals are going to take a receiver.
The Chargers come to mind. Well, here's what would be interesting.
I might take it back, actually. I could see the Patriots trading down with
the Chargers.
The Chargers, right. Maybe the Chargers want to undercut the Cardinals and get Marvin Harrison or something.
And then the Patriots still get their quarterback.
Because the Cardinals are going to take a receiver anyway.
Are the Chargers willing to give up that much?
How much do they give up to move up two picks?
Not a ton, honestly.
I mean, a
second and a little bit.
I understand
so many needs, though.
I understand what you guys are saying. I don't see a world where Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman value the receiver position that much.
That's true.
That they're going to give up a lot.
I don't disagree. I'm just thinking about situations where you could undercut the Cardinals. Even though, if I was the Cardinals, I'd feel pretty good about my pick here.
Yeah. So, I mean,
shout out to Matt Prater for missing Cardinals.
Cardinals could probably going to take a receiver. Chargers are either going to move down or take a pass catcher. Brock Bowers or one of these receivers. Giants could go for
Giants
a receiver.
Could do anything. I don't think they'll go receiver. Probably offensive line. It was so.
Yeah.
Trade down maybe even then still pick offensive line. Titans could go anywhere.
Titans have a lot of needs, but based on what they've done this offseason, it seems like what they want to do is put as many weapons around Will Levis as possible and see what they got in him. So, I mean, I know they already signed Calvin Ridley, but...
Except Derrick Henry.
Except Derrick Henry. I could see them getting another receiver. Atlanta, kind of a similar situation, but with a proven quarterback. They've, already trying to put weapons around Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but you also might want to go defensively because your offense is so good.
Yeah, and they've already spent a lot of money.
And your defensive line is a little bit lackluster.
The Falcons with the 8th overall pick take the number 2 receiver from LSU to pair him with Kirk Cousins.
Ooh.
Have we seen that before? I don't know.
It's worked well before.
That'd be kind of crazy.
What do the Jets do? Or I mean, what do we think the Bears are going to do with that second pick?
The Bears could do anything, and I think it depends on how the picks ahead of them go. If there's a lineman that falls to him at 9, they're going to take him.
Like an offensive lineman?
Offensive lineman, I would think.
That could also be a prime spot.
You could go corner, get your cornerback too.
You could.
I don't know how good.
If you take him at 9. Though,
I don't know how good
with Jalen Johnson.
I don't know how good the guy across from Jalen Johnson. Well, I mean, Tyreek Woolen. They took Devin Witherspoon at 5.
That's
last
true.
Year.
That's true.
That's a cornerback too. I mean,
that's true.
That's a great cornerback division. I mean, sorry, great receiver division.
Yeah, that's true.
You're playing against Jefferson twice a year. You're playing against
Jefferson and Addison.
Amon-Ra twice a year.
You got the Packers.
You're playing against
a slew of young receivers, yeah. Right?
Like, you got all kinds of talent.
Christian Watson.
I'm looking at the Bears right now. If they want to move back and say there's a quarterback falling, that's a team that quarterback needy teams like the Broncos,
Denver Broncos,
Vikings, Broncos, Raiders might be trying to trade
the Broncos.
It's so funny. It goes Vikings, Broncos, Raiders all in a row.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Bears would trade with the Vikings because of the division. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like the Bears would be like, let's go. We're trading with the Broncos to undercut the Vikings and take a quarterback, right? Like, I could totally see him doing that.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings don't have to move up because if we're at 9 and the quarterback is there, you know that the Bears and the Jets aren't going to. What if the Jets take a quarterback to sit?
Then Aaron Rodgers.
What?
They can't. They can't.
Aaron Rodgers 2025.
Their starter is going to be over 40 years old. There's obviously
the receivers?
Not a long-term
solution. They got Mike Williams. Right?
I think they'll draft Brock Bowers.
The Jets. Ooh. Yeah, you're right.
Jets at 10. Brock
or
Bowers.
An offensive lineman.
Well,
I mean, they're all
they
line
they,
is
they signed a lot of offensive linemen.
But still, like,
by the way,
it's not bad to get a rookie one. You know, top rookie lineman.
After the first round, though, I would look at the Jets as maybe taking a quarterback guy to sit behind Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, they got
and maybe
yeah, that's tough though because they have Tyrod Taylor. Like Tyrod Taylor's gonna be their backup. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
true. That's
they
true.
Don't. They don't really have space for
a backup.
They
might wait till next year to draft.
Yeah.
Their guy of the future.
Well, you know, then again, the Lions picked Hendon Hooker for a year, and then he was the third string guy behind Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he also.
So, I mean, you could do that.
Let's look at the rest of this. So,
not a lot of time left.
How much time do we have left?
45 seconds.
Dang.
Well,
I'll give you all the.
Can I talk about what's going on with the Raiders? I'm trying to think if there's anything of note. Max Crosby has started a podcast. he's had Julian Edelman on. He's about to have Davante Adams.
We could talk a lot about this next week too.
Well,
not the Raiders thing.
Let's just do like a mock draft kind of.
Oh yeah, it'll be our last. Or are we gonna record
we'll
a show before?
We'll see. Okay. Probably not.
We can.
Well, thank you for listening to Ready for Hillsdale 101.7 FM Outside Source Football. Have a great day.
Have a great one. Shout out to Coach Riley Deckard, linebackers coach for Hillsdale.
Really?
New listener.
Our new
heard
listener.
Me on the radio, yeah.
See, that's the audience that we need to break into, the football coaches, the hardcore guys.
Yeah, agree.
The guys who care.
He said
the
it was
guys
pretty.
Who actually know ball.
He inspired me yesterday to kick better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hit a kick at the end of the practice and it went in and he said, just kick them all like that. And I feel so much better about my kick.
You know what? Now I'm just going to do that.
Perfect. You know what his thing is right now? It's always been his thing. He always runs everywhere during practice.
Right.
But he mentions the Romans. He's like, the Romans ran everywhere. I need to learn some like bad things about the Romans where I can be like, well, you know what? The Romans also did, just to kind of throw it back in his face.
Prostitution.